Good afternoon and welcome back to part two, basically, of our recognition and just kind of honor of Emmett Wayne Schwartz, who was born July 19th, 20th. He listed in the United States Army during World War II, and we are really honoring and taking the time this week to remember him and, of course, his sacrifice as he was missing in action during World War II in December of 1944, and he is set to return home this week. And Nick McWilliams here with me, Mary Alice. And Nick, you know, yesterday we really talked about the importance and kind of the education aspect of today and really this week that we're going to have.
Yeah, and I'm very thankful that we are able to do something along these lines. You know, it's not every day, obviously, we alluded to that yesterday. It's not every day that a soldier who was missing in action or killed in action it gets identified down the road, and especially we'll be coming home here to Tuscarawas County. So just kind of adding on to that, what we alluded to yesterday about just running through, you know, now, I guess, the process of how Private Schwartz is coming home and how the DPAA was able to ultimately identify him and ensure that he will be coming home and to his family and back to the area where he grew up in. So it's just a great thing. And I know today we're talking a little bit more in the fine details, so to speak, of how that works.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was doing a little bit more research about Private Schwartz himself, and I didn't realize, but, you know, 24 years old, and he enlisted in the U.S. Army at Fort Benjamin Harrison, Indiana, actually in May of 1944. And then, of course, he was sent over in October and a New Philadelphia graduate. So a lot of pride in this community. And as you were saying, the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, we're going to be talking today with Sergeant First Class Sean Everett, who works over there. And of course, they are headquartered out of Washington, D.C. And, you know, the DPAA was founded in January of 2015. And amazingly, they have a budget of $130 million, roughly. That's what they're asking for this year. And, you know, you talked with a historian and it's going to good use.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime someone would see that kind of total, $130 million, mm-hmm. they might think, well, that's an intense amount of money, but and it is by every measure. But whenever we go throughout the rest of this week talking a little bit about this agency and I guess the importance of why they do what they do, I hope that provides a little more clarity.
And, you know, their overall mission is basically summed up, never leave a fallen comrade behind, with more than 81,000 Americans still remaining missing from World War II, the Korean War, the Cold War, and the Vietnam War. And of course, for today's conversation, again, I spoke with Sergeant Sean Everett. And to kind of get things started off, tell us what the overall mission is further of what the DPAA does.
Yeah, so the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, we are the DOD agency that is tasked with finding, recovering, and bringing home our missing service members from our past wars and conflicts. There are currently more than 81,600 service members still missing from all of our modern conflicts going back to World War II. So that's World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Cold War, Gulf Wars, and other conflicts, even all the way up to Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. There are no actual service members missing from our most recent wars. There are three contractors, you know, people who are working for the DOD who are still missing. World War II actually has the highest number of missing, just over 72,000 service members still missing from World War II. Now, of those 72,000, we believe that there are somewhere around, I mean, we don't have an exact number, but somewhere around 38,000 who are potentially still recoverable and can still be found and brought home. It's our mission to track those service members down, find out where their remains are, you know, go through all the records, find out, you know, are they potentially buried as an unknown at an American cemetery somewhere in the world, or were they part of a plane crash and nothing was, or or a major battle where there were unfortunately a lot of deaths and no bodies were ever recovered. So something is found in, you know, in a field or in a forest or something. But it's our job to track all of those down and do the research and find them. And then we go out and we actually go to recover their bodies.
And as we, right before I started the recording, you were talking to me a little bit about World War II. And of course, I didn't quite realize that it was both kind of that, as you had mentioned, the European access in Germany over there. But it was also the Pacific, you know, the attack on Pearl Harbor there. And so I'm pretty sure that right there in itself is lending to the large numbers of the men and women who have been unidentified or missing because, you know, out in the ocean, how do you recover someone from out in the ocean?
Right. Well, that's exactly true. You know, the thousands that are missing that are considered non-recoverable, a lot of those were deep sea losses. Either ships were sunk at sea or, you know, a plane went down over, you know, over deep water. And while we can do some underwater recovery and excavation, the deeper it is, the harder it is for us to do it. Because it's very difficult to even sometimes find a ship or a plane that sunk in, you know, relatively shallow water. And when I say relatively shallow, I'm talking 80 to 100 feet deep.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the over 81,600 Americans remaining still missing. And, of course, another startling number to me as I was doing a little bit of research here was the unaccounted servicemen and women from all military services just for Ohio alone, standing at just over 3,000 individuals. And, you know, you talked a little bit about historians and them going to different areas. Can you tell me a little bit about how they're sent out? Like, is it areas because of known battles that have taken place in those areas, or because, as you said, there's an American cemetery there?
Yeah, you know, it really kind of depends on the case, depends on what it is they're researching.
Okay.
You know, what battles, what, you know, what part of the war, different things like that. So, you know, our historians and researchers and analysts, they always start with the military records for the, you know, for these people or for a unit, and they'll do all of this thorough research first. Then, when they think it's needed, we will actually send out what we call investigation teams to different cities in Europe or in Asia. But in this case, Private Emmett Schwartz, who's from there in Ohio, you know, he was lost in Germany. So in the case of this, you know, in a case similar to this one, you know, we might send an investigation team to Germany to do some local research. So they'll talk to locals who may remember something about the battle or about remains found. That kind of thing is getting more and more difficult, obviously, you know, December 7th. So a little less than a month from now will be the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So we're looking at 75 to 80 years since we've been involved in World War II.
When we're talking about those unidentified members, you know, hopefully we've all heard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is located in Arlington, Virginia. And of course, that monument is dedicated to those deceased U.S. service members who have been unidentified. And kind of with that in mind, with remains having never returned to the U.S. because of that no positive ID, you know, how important is it to the DPAA to give the names back to the dead and to these people who lost their lives because of war?
Oh, it's the sole purpose of our agency. We are here to provide the fullest possible accounting of all of our missing personnel from our past conflicts, not just to the nation, but to the families and for those people. And when they're buried as unknowns, you know, we have lists. All the people who are unaccounted for, we just haven't found them yet. So we have the names of tens of thousands of people that we're looking for. The military has the saying, you never leave a fallen comrade. And really, that is our mission, is to make sure those fallen comrades who, because of circumstances beyond anyone's control, were unfortunately left behind, and to bring those people home and give those families some kind of answer. For some of them, it's just answers. For some of them, it really is closure. You know, a lot of what we do also, kind of taking a little bit of a different tack, you know, we have partners all over the place that help us do what we do. You know, our agency is right around 700 people. And even in the identification process, we partner with the Armed Forces Medical Examiner System and their DNA Identification Laboratory in Dover, Delaware, because a lot of the identifications that we make are done through DNA.
Of course, if anyone would like to learn more about the Defense Accounting Agency, they can go over to dpaa.mil, which is dpaa.mil, for more details. You guys have a great website there with all the numbers. And anything else that you would like to mention about what you guys do there at the agency, or you just want to say?
Yeah, so I'm active duty military myself. I'm in the Army. And for me, as an active duty service member, you know, it's kind of a comfort to know that there is an agency, a DoD agency, whose whole purpose is that if I were to go missing in a war zone and I was unable to be recovered, there is an agency whose sole purpose and sole mission is to find me and bring me home to my family. You know, it does bring some kind of comfort.
And of course, those identities of these missing men and women would not be possible without the historians. And Nick, again, as we talked a little bit earlier, you were able to get in touch with an anthropologist who is part of the teams that kind of go out to those different American cemeteries around the world, all in the hopes of collecting the data and making these positive IDs for a military personnel and to get them back home.
Yeah, and you could tell from that conversation, which we'll be getting to tomorrow, you can kind of tell how passionate these people are about what they do. I mean, this is a process that starts really from the basics, so to speak. Obviously, in Private Schwartz's case in France before ultimately now coming back. So a lot of different working pieces here that go into it, but it all starts with just a humble, you could say, opening a book, so to speak. And then all the more intense process goes from there, which of course we will discuss tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Nick McWilliams and Mary Alice here with a special news presentation airing each day this week, all leading up to the return of Tuscarawas County native Army Private Emmett Schwartz, and also, again, his return home later this week. Details are still unknown when he will actually return, but we are working with local officials to kind of get those updates so that the community can really come out during open services that are expected to happen at the Tuscarawas County Courthouse. And again, be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from Dr. Tracy Von Deese, a forensic anthropologist and scientific recovery expert, as we take time again this week to become educated about World War II and the DPAA, along with the life and return of Private Schwartz.